Chapter 21. Scott. The sound of an empty, heavy bottle crashing into a human skull was a dull, echoey thunk. The bottle didn't break, but the man let out a muffled grunt as he fell into the room and onto the floor. He landed face down and immediately got his arms beneath him to push himself upwards, his legs bending, trying to scramble forward and up into a standing position. Scott was faster. The door had hit the opposite wall with a bang and was now swinging shut. Scott was already halfway into the room, and he ducked inside and kicked the door shut behind him. The man began to shout as he got to his knees.
What the fuck is this?
Raising the bottle over his head, Scott heaved it forward and down. This time, it exploded as it hit the top of the man's skull. Scott still had hold of the neck of the bottle, which was still intact. The man fell forward, rolled to the side, gripping the top of his head. In that moment, Scott was not the successful Manhattan lawyer, married with a big house and a huge salary. He was the boy, naked and bleeding on the floor of the shower after the jocks had kicked the shit out of him. Scott felt like his heart was tearing clean through his chest. He was angry and afraid and filled with a rage that he could not control. There was no thought, only action, as if his body was taking over. He knelt, straddling the man.
You hurt my wife, said Scott.
The man didn't respond. His eyes were shut tight, his hands on top of his head. And then, suddenly, his eyes popped open and his right hand flew upwards and a fist cracked into the side of Scott's face, sending his head reeling back on his shoulders. His vision swam and another fierce blow landed on his chin, slamming his mouth closed, rattling his jaw like an old window pane in a tornado. Another punch. This one caught Scott in the throat. The man beneath him was going wild, kicking and bucking and punching. Scott began to panic. He'd made a mistake. He'd provoked a killer. This man would beat him unconscious, and then he'd kill Ruth. Scott still had hold of the neck of the bottle. He reversed his grip, the mouth of the bottle close to his thumb, the jagged remnants of glass now a dagger. His vision grew hazier with every punch. Scott raised the bottle, then stabbed down into the man's face. Still, the killer fought back. Scott raised the bottle, stabbed down again. This time, he heard glass cracking. Up and down again, harder this time. Scott closed his eyes. Again, again, again. Scott gulped fresh air. It felt as thick as soup. He brought his hands to his throat and coughed. The killer's blow had almost shattered his windpipe. He rolled off the man onto his back, his chest pumping, and let his lungs fill up. He lay there for what must have been a few minutes. The man beside him had not moved in all that time. Scott got to his feet and looked down at him. The neck of the bottle was still covered in gold foil. It was tinged red. His face was cut and bloody, and only one perfect blue eye stared up at the ceiling. The other eye was gone. In its place were 4 inches of wine bottle that stood upright like a chimney from his eye socket. As Scott stumbled backwards, his calves caught the bed and he flopped down on top of it in a sitting position. He saw himself then in the mirror. The man's blood had soaked Scott's jacket, shirt, and the waist of his pants. Blood leaked from that ruptured eye socket and spread across the carpet. It was on the soles of Scott's shoes. Fuck. Think. There had been some noise, but not a huge amount. He listened, couldn't hear a sound. No pounding footsteps in the hallway, no urgent, panicked voices from the next room on the phone to reception to tell them of a disturbance. Nothing. Scott moved to the bathroom, switched on the light, gazed in horror at his image in the mirror. He'd been an assistant district attorney for years before he took the litigation job in the city. He'd got to know the NYPD and how they think, how they catch people. He knew what the police would look for, and so far he'd been stupid. Time to work smart. He stripped, put his cell phone and wallet on the floor, and dropped his bloody clothes in the tub. A fast shower. He didn't use a towel, better to air dry while he looked through the man's closet. 2 suits, a pair of black jeans, some plain black t-shirts and an overcoat. There were no shoes. Scott put on the t-shirt, pants. They were too long for him, and he turned up the legs with a couple of folds. He moved quickly to the body. The pool of blood beneath the man's head had widened, but so far hadn't reached beyond his shoulders. The man's shoes were not stained, but they were two sizes too big. Scott took the man's last three pairs of socks, put them all on, then put on the shoes and the overcoat. He put his own wallet and cell in the coat. One last thing. He glanced around the floor, careful not to step in the blood. There, beneath the console table, the man's key card. Scott crawled up to it and reached over the bloodstains to retrieve the card. He washed the blood spots off it in the bathroom sink, then put it in his pocket. He had to walk over the bed to get to the door without stepping in blood, but he made it. Even though he'd just showered, Scott was sweating in the overcoat. He swiped a hand through his still wet hair, keeping it away from his face, then tentatively opened the door, glanced up and to the left, then right. He breathed out, a huge sigh. There was a security camera 15 feet to the left of the door, on the ceiling, pointing back down the corridor. His attack on the man would not have been caught by the cameras. They might pick him up following the man, but they wouldn't have seen Scott lifting the bottle. The camera was after room 1246. That gave him a shot. Scott turned right out the door, to where the hallway dog-legged to the left. There were no cameras in this short hallway and door leading to the stairs. The stairwell was concrete with painted iron stair rails. It was a long way down, but there were no cameras. At the bottom of the stairs, there were two exits, left and right, one for the lobby on the left and one for the basement parking lot. Scott went right through the parking lot, up the ramp and out onto the street. His teeth rattled. His body was still full of adrenaline and fear, but at least he was now thinking straight, and he knew what he had to do next. He had to do some shopping.